Greetings, fellow classic TV fans, and welcome to Retro TV Radio. I'm your host, Pat McCormack. On today's show, we're going to slightly veer off the celebrity interview format by talking with the founder and president of the organization Doors of Change, Mr. Jeffrey Sitkoff. His cause is devoted to getting homeless youth off the streets and into a functioning place in society, not to mention a much better life. Speaking of a much better life, Mr. Sitkoff has enlisted the generous help of some extremely recognizable Hollywood talent, as well as some major names from the music industry. You may recall during my recent interview with Anson Williams, we discussed this amazing organization in which he is very much involved. But with Jeffrey, I get down to the nitty-gritty on the subject of the growing homeless youth problem in the U.S. You'll hear how this highly inspirational cause is really making a difference in these kids' lives, arguably at the age when they need it the most. This deeply informative interview is coming right up, but first I'd like to ask for your simple support by subscribing and sharing, and maybe even leaving a positive podcast review for this channel. And if you're viewing the Pods with Pics version on YouTube, please do like and subscribe. I've just finished reading the bestseller autobiography, Being Henry, The Fonz and Beyond, by Henry Winkler. You'll see why he is generally known as one of the nicest guys in Hollywood, but boy, did he have to overcome some obstacles. Former podcast guest John Davey, who you know as the second Captain Marvel from the classic TV series Shazam, has released his new novel, A Brotherhood of Broken Noses. He was so kind to send me an autographed copy, and simply put, from what I've read so far, this book is a heavyweight contender. So with that, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, the heroic Jeffrey Sitkoff. Hey, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for having me on.
You like heroic? You think that's a good tag?
I don't. I just am just a quarterback for a team of people that want to make a difference to help kids get off the streets. I don't think it's heroic. I just think I'm blessed that I'm able to do it.
Well, I do. I beg to differ. I think it is heroic. I was also thinking I could call him the saintly Jeffrey Sitkoff. That might be pouring it on a bit too thick. But what you guys do is indeed heroic, and the results that you've had are just astonishing.
Thank you.
Doors of Change. Can you give us a brief rundown of what it is?
Sure. Doors of Change is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has been helping homeless youth in Southern California, especially San Diego, get off the streets from being homeless and getting into housing over the last 22 and a half years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, I don't know if California is... Well, I mean, we were talking prior to this and you asked where I was from, and I said, I'm from Homeless Central, which, you know, you could say the same about L.A. You know, I know San Diego has its problems, but Santa Cruz is pretty popular and not in a good way when it comes to that. It's just been an ongoing problem for years. And the strange thing about it is, Jeffrey, it's such an affluent area. I mean, it's the haves and have-nots almost to a T.
Yes. Well, it's these youth that are homeless. Number one, people always ask me, you know, why are they homeless? Do they want to be homeless? 95% of the youth that we work with are throwaway kids. Their parents, if they're LGBTQ plus nationally, over 40% of the 4.2 million youth that are homeless in America today are LGBTQ plus. Their parents kick them out of the house because they're gay. Or they come from such abusive situations. It's safer to, you know, be on the streets than be in their house being, you know, raped and molested and taken advantage of by their parents and, you know, physically, emotionally, sexually, et cetera. So these kids don't want to be homeless. And once you're on the streets, they don't know who to trust because they don't really trust anybody because anybody they've dealt with has been taking advantage of them.
Yeah. That's, it's atrocious. I can't, as a parent, I can't imagine treating my offspring in that way, where you'd be so unaccepting. But, you know, it's like it's the same old story. There's this stereotype or this image that parents, I guess, oh, quite frankly, Jeffrey, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. You know, to throw them out, to throw your kid out on the street is BS. I don't care what orientation they are. It's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll never forget when I started this 22 years ago, one of my first youth that I worked with, his name was Joseph. His dad was a Baptist minister. And when he told his dad that he was gay, literally within 10 minutes, he threw him out of the house, didn't give him food, didn't give him clothes, didn't give him money. And within an hour to two, he'd have survival sex to get $10 to get on a trolley to eventually get to the shelter. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, well, my listeners have heard me talk about my Baptist. Well, the fact was I was raised not with a religious heavy hand, but, you know, unfortunately, the school that I went through was, and it was a Baptist school. And back in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, it was very different. I mean, I don't know ideology-wise if it's any more different now. I mean, especially in the Deep South. But, you know, they were able to hit you. Even the school was able to hit the kids. And it's like,
yeah,
like I don't know what good that did for me, Jeffrey. A couple of little psychological. But I'm doing better now. I'm much better now. But again, it's this. It's very interesting to me. It's like California, you know, the Golden State. The land of the rich. I mean, you told me you love Santa Cruz. I love Santa Cruz. I was basically born and raised here. But now, you cannot rent unless you make a minimum of $70 an hour in this town. And you look at the prices and the cost of homes and rent, it's just... It wouldn't surprise me, even though I don't know the exact statistics, it wouldn't be surprising to me that we're like notoriously the number one place to not go if you're homeless, because there's no opportunity.
Right. Well, kids come from all over the United States to where it's warm. Yeah. And San Diego's got, you know, one of the best weathers in the United States, and that's why we have a huge homeless population here, because the kids can stay outside a lot easier than being in Buffalo, New York, Detroit, you know, Philadelphia, Chicago. They come here. And so we've got kids from all of the United States that come to San Diego. And we've helped in the last 22 years, we've helped over 2,800 youth get off the streets, get into safe housing, and many of them become self-sufficient as a result.
Yeah. No, I've seen the promo videos that you guys did, and it's just astonishing, you know, given the chance. And I felt as a musical artist, I was very intrigued by the fact that that is part of the avenues that you guys use to help motivate these kids, or at least to give them some kind of constructive path or passion or whatever it is that's missing in their lives through music and art, which is beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
It is. We had an award-winning music and art program for 18 years. We saw over 8,300 kids in the program, and it was extremely successful because when a kid came in, we taught them one of seven instruments, and just within the first class alone, they would just master even one chord on the ukulele, the mandolin, the guitar, the piano, whatever. And just by mastering something for the first time many times, it's the first time they've ever mastered anything, they started feeling better about themselves. And then they started trusting us very quickly. And we had tremendous success over 18 years. Now, since COVID, we had to close our program down for our music and art program. But we're still actually getting even better results now because we had a pivot and say, listen, these kids need our help. Even though the program is closed to music and art, we've got to do something to get to these kids to help them. And so we actually did a lot of brainstorming and decided to come up with a very bright colored poster that we hang everywhere. And the kids, you know, notice the colors and everything. They go over to it and they read all the different things that we offer them for free. And they started calling us by the droves. And we actually, in the last 2 years alone, because of those posters, we've housed 688 youth.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Do you have any bright up-and-coming music stars that you've just by happenstance discovered on the streets?
These kids are very talented. Many of them, they don't know they have any talent at all, but they're very talented. But the most important thing is that it helps their self-esteem. It gives them actually something that they can actually make money at playing on the streets. So at least instead of begging, instead of stealing, they're actually earning money by playing on the streets. And so that's what many of them have done. And it really helped them tremendously. And we also have an expressive arts program, which is extremely successful. And one of our youth, she learned how to make jewelry. And she went from being homeless from 12 to 15 years old. Her name was Justine. She was suicidal. She tried to kill herself twice when I met her. She was so depressed, she didn't even look at me for 2 months in the eye. And she came up to me and said, I want to learn how to play music. And that was the beginning of it. But then she said, can I go into art? And so we, you know, got her into art program, and she excelled in that. And she started making jewelry. And, you know, for 15 years, she sold her jewelry, put herself through City College, and then went to University of Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara, graduated magna cum laude, and then she went to law school and graduated law school this past year. You know, so going from the streets to now being passing law school, it's amazing. She's taking her boards or whatever this coming year. And, it just shows you that with a little help, a little handout, you know, it's a hand up, not a hand out, a little hand up. We really allow these kids to flourish. They have to work hard, but at least they know that they're safe. And if they're safe and they can work hard, they can succeed in anything that they put their mind to with hard work.
Yeah, isn't that true? And if anybody would think that a little school of hard knocks is good for someone who's coming up in anything, they've got that there too, in droves.
Yes. And these kids, you know, are on survival mode when they're on the streets, and they learn skills in how to survive. But when we, you know, show them that if they work hard in, you know, in a certain profession, a trade, you know, they can succeed. And we've got so many kids that have succeeded that have gone to college, got degrees. You know, one of them is, his name is Matthew. His dad was sexually abused him and used to beat him up. And he said, if it happened one more time, I was going to kill my father. I had to run away. And so we got him, and he now, after, you know, working himself, saving almost over $20,000 with his working, he put himself through school. He got 2 degrees, computer science and engineering, and he's now making a 6-digit income in Northern California as a computer engineer. And he's got a kid now, and it just shows people that, yes, these youth, these transitional age youth that we work with from 17 to 25, that's the most underserved of the entire homeless population. However, if they work hard, more than any other age group of homelessness, they can break the cycle more than any other age group because they haven't been on the streets that long. They're not so, you know, mentally ill compared to some other people that have been on the streets for years. And so they can break the cycle. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids break the cycle and help themselves have a better life.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I can only imagine that, you know, it's for twofold. You're helping a kid. That's going to make you feel good right there. But a kid that's not so overly indoctrinated into the drug culture or criminal behavior that goes along and hand in hand with all of it. It's like pounce, get them now, get them out, trying to get others like them involved. You know,
exactly. I mean, people always say, you know, how do you help the homeless situation? You know, what can we do to make this better? Well, to me, it starts with the youth, because if you don't get the youth off the streets, they're going to be the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50, the 60, the 70 year olds, you know, 20 years from now. So
yeah, 70, if they're lucky, right?
If they're lucky. But this is, you know, this is the way to get these kids, build trust in them quickly, get them off the streets. Get them to be role models, you know, because they really are role models. They give hope to, you know, other youth that, hey, you know, Johnny got off the street. Maybe I can do the same thing with hard work. So it really gives these kids hope that they can have a better life. And that's why Doors of Change now has, you know, helped over, well, well over 10,000 youth, you know, with services. But we've housed 2,800 of them over the last 22 years because one step at a time we built trust and we've given the services that they need to help themselves, including mental health. And that's a huge part of this because they don't get their mental health better, they're not going to succeed.
Right. And of course, environment is a lot of is a big part of how one gets developed. So it is. It's so urgent. You get in there while you can before they get influenced by, you know, well, let's face it, the mentally ill. I don't really want to be influenced by someone who's sick in the head. I understand the fact that they're there, and that's a part of the reason they are there.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we got to save the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people, you know, there's so many nonprofits out there. They don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
And so thank God that people trusted us initially because we did it for the right reason. And then when we started getting results, the people every year go to our events. We have concerts every year. And we have a concert coming up on July 27th with Casey and the Sunshine Band. This past year, we did Ben Harper. The year before that, we did Three Dog Night. And the reason we do concerts is because we get a bunch of people there and we educate them about the homeless youth issue. We always have, Pat, one of the youth speak at it. And the kids, their speaking is the highlight of everything. It doesn't matter what group is there. They're the ones that blow people away by their speech, by them sharing what it was like being homeless and what they're doing now. And so, you know, if anybody is in Southern California, July 27th, please come to the Casey and the Sunshine Band concert just to not only have fun with the music, but to support a cause. 100%, by the way, of the proceeds, 100% will go to get kids off the streets because our underwriters, all of our corporate sponsors, underwrite the whole event. And so literally 100% of the ticket price goes to get these kids off the streets and have a better life.
100%. Now
100%.
That's just amazing. And because, yeah, you know, it's obviously these people are giving their time. Casey and the Sunshine Band and these other classic rock bands are like, these kids are probably going, who's Three Dog Night? But it's like, no, the fact is they are there to be able to give back. And, you know, as a performing musician, at the time when the group that I was in was popular, we turned it into a philanthropic experience. Hey, I think I did it. And it was for kids, helping sick kids. We started with the Ryan White Foundation, specifically the pediatric AIDS, and all the things that went along. And then it just progressed because, you know, there's just so many people that need help. And if you can help, and you can help by doing your art and then present a check, there's just no better feeling. I'll take the check to the Pittsburgh Pediatric Hospital quicker than I will mount this platinum album that I never got on my wall.
You know, people always say, listen, I had no idea there's that many 4.2 million youth that are homeless on the streets in America today. It went up from 3.5 3 years ago. So it's going up. And, you know, once they're educated, like, wow, I had no idea. And I see that you're getting results, you know, can I really make a difference with my donation? You absolutely can. We actually had the California Angels allowed us to trademark the name Angel Team. We're the first ones they've actually let trademark the name besides their organization because they said they saw that it had to do strictly with homeless youth. And so for $18 a month, you know, someone can make an $18 a month donation, an auto pay, you know, on our website of doorsofchange.org. And that will cause a lot of youth to be helped, but because we'll have several people at $18 a month. See, I can afford 18 bucks a month. If you have 1,000 people giving $18 a month, that's a lot of money that we can do to hire another case manager. So they can actually, you know, do one-on-one with these kids and get them the resources they need to get them off the streets and keep them off the streets. But the Angel Team, become an Angel Team member, doorsofchange.org. That's how people can make a difference. And I've got people giving, you know, $100 a month. Whatever someone can afford, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that we're getting results with these kids. this is such a huge issue today. We know that we can help society by getting these kids off the streets. They can be productive citizens instead of a drain on society. And they really, you know, become the role models. And so it's a, you know, it really makes a difference. So doorsofchange.org, there's many things on there. You can go and listen to many interviews and hear the kids speak and see the results. And we just need to help more kids. We're getting results. We need to help more kids so they can have a better life with hard work. They have to work hard. This is not a freebie. This is not a handout. There's a handout.
Right. Well, and it sounds to me like, you know, even though the numbers are unfortunately increasing in the homeless population, you guys have gained some momentum. And
yes.
I think that's, like I said, in the beginning, the heroic Jeffrey. I mean, it's pretty heroic. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. That it kind of falls under that that title, what you do and what you're doing. And that you're, you know, getting all these wonderful celebrities behind the process too. I mean, I know I recognize a lot of the names that are with you. Harlan Bowl is of course a friend. So there's his clients, and of course he has the heart of gold.
Yes, he does.
But I saw Lucy Arnaz, and of course Anson Williams, which we touched on this. You know, when we had our interview a couple weeks back. It's been a good.
Yes, both Lucy Arnaz and Anson Williams have been actively doing interviews with me the last 18 months. And people, you know that Lucy is Lucille Ball's daughter. And, you know, she, one of her kids was homeless for a time. And she really resonates with this issue. And Anson is such an amazing human being, and he's such a giver. And it's the Potsy of Happy Days. It's their 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
So those are just two of the celebrities that, again, once they really realize that this is the real deal,
yeah,
or not, you know, some sham, that this is really what we say we do. That's why Billy Joel got involved with me 22 years ago. He trusted us. And then within 3 or 4 months, Elton John said, listen, if you're signing a keyboard for them, it must be a good organization. I'll also sign a keyboard. And once he did, the two of them, in the first less than 6 months of when I started this 22 and a half years ago, that gave the credibility within the music industry. Listen, if these guys think this organization is a good organization, I can trust it. And then the Stones came on, Bruce Springsteen, you know, Carlos Santana, James Taylor, Etta James, B.B. King, many, many, many others, you know, to help so we can get kids a better life for themselves with hard work.
Gosh, Jeffrey, do you think you could have found any big name musicians?
Yeah. Well, thank God for Billy Joel. He was the first. And he, you know, it took one person, and he made such a huge difference that by having him and then Elton come on, that was the key to really people trusting us. Because again, the musicians don't trust anybody either, just like the kids, because they've been taken advantage of by so many people. They lied to them and take advantage of them, whatever. And thank God that between Elton and Billy, they've signed 7 keyboards for us.
Wow.
They signed 10 keyboards for us. Elton John signed 3 and Billy Joel signed 7. So they've signed 10 keyboards between the two of them. And God willing, we're going to have them sign another one. So, you know, it just, again, it has to do with trust. It has to do with doing the right thing. And that it's all about helping kids have a better life, getting them off the streets. And these kids didn't want to be homeless. They're homeless because they had to be homeless.
Yeah, that's the tragedy. And it was funny. Anson and I were going back and forth about how funny it was that I had read the autobiographies of all his castmates on Happy Days, except his.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, did he rake me over the coals on that. We actually had fun with it, Jeffrey, because, you know, the banter was there. He made me promise that I'd get Singing to a Bulldog. And I did. And I got to ask, have you read that, Jeffrey?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. I highly recommend it. To me, it was one of the best autobiographies, and it's not really what it is. And he even admits that. It's just the story of his upbringing, which wasn't by his parents. I mean, that he had it really tough. Not so much to the point where he was living on the streets, but the mentor that he found is just, I cried probably 4 times reading that book.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, I didn't sob, but it definitely broke the tear barrier. And so in my, as I'm going to say in the beginning of this podcast, when I pre-record that, that Anson wins the blue ribbon when it comes to the autobiographies. And for that book, that's over 10 years old. I can't recommend it enough. And again, it was because his home life was not all, I mean, he wasn't beat up, but mentally there's more than just physical abuse. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And these kids go through such mental abuse, emotional abuse. You know, Anson was was our co-MC last event, and he's going to be a co-MC for the Casey and the Sunshine Band event. He's excited about it. When you come and at the concert, you come and say hello to Anson because he's just a wonderful human being. And, you know, being the 50th anniversary of Happy Days, it's very special this year. And he, again, is doing this for free. He loves to help these kids. He's seen the kids. He's met the kids. He gets it. And that's why he's involved with Doors of Change, because he knows that when he's doing his, you know, giving his time away, it's really, you know, last year, just for what he did, the Ripple Effect, we housed 339 kids last year from the results of the concert.
Yeah.
Just last year alone.
That's amazing. Well, yep. And again, you read that book, you'll see that it is his priority to give back, yeah, to help, to be there for other people. And it goes so much deeper than that. And the wisdom is beyond, I mean, where the wisdom right, comes yeah. from is shockingly amazing. Someone that could have easily have been homeless.
Yes.
It was his mentor. So there's talent there at every age. And so much knowledge from just like we were talking about earlier. There's a lot to be learned from that school of hard knocks. It's not the way we want to go. You know, you guys are trying to do it through art and music and, you know, education and being, you know, motivated and up and take the sunny side. I'm all about the sunny side.
Yeah. Yeah. Our homeless youth advocacy program, we're really advocates for these kids because they don't have really acting parents. They can't trust their parents. They're not involved with their parents because they're too physical, sexual, emotional, abuse that they just, they can't be around them. And so we actually end up being like, almost like their co-parent. And, that's why when you go to doorsofchange.org, doors is plural, doorsofchange.org, listen to a couple of the interviews. Listen to the kids speak and what their story is. And they're Rocky stories. They literally are Rocky stories. They're true life Rocky stories that make you so proud of their success or what they had to go through, you know, more than almost anything you can even imagine. And they still are succeeding.
Yeah. It sounds like a compilation book, a bestseller.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, those stories, those real life stories are, I mean, I don't know, people are entertained by that, and I'm not entertained, but it is very intriguing to see how, you know, how tough it can be for some people and that they can come out of it.
Yes. Yes, every year when we have our concert, and again, this year it's July 27th, Casey and the Sunshine Band, anybody that goes there will get a book, our concert book, that's 52 pages long with tremendous stories of the kids, with pictures of the youth, with their stories. It's very powerful. People usually don't throw them away because they keep them for family and friends to read. It's so powerful. And again, it's free when you go to the concert, and it's it just will show you the ripple effect of what your donation will do to get these kids, have them, you know, let them have a better life with hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've got a fair amount of listeners in LA. So, hey, gang, you got to go to this.
We'll start, actually, I mean, tickets will go on sale in April, but go to our website at doorsofchange.org, early April or whatever. We'll start selling tickets online, and it's going to be UCSD in San Diego. They have a beautiful new amphitheater, the Epstein Family Amphitheater. It's a brand new facility, beautiful outside amphitheater, and we're going to have about 1,500 people there, and it's going to be fantastic.
And 15,000 attendees.
I would love that.
Well, anybody that wants to go see Anson Williams, do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. You don't think he's not going to get up and dance around with Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to all be dancing.
Oh, well, this is wonderful stuff. I really commend you. Now, of course, folks can donate via the website, as you said earlier. I was wondering, I had a quick question in regards to the fact that you guys do use music and art as one of your primary tools working with these kids. Can folks donate, say, art equipment, musical instruments? Is there a resource for doing that, or is it?
That's a good question. You know, as I said, we had this program for 18 years, and we stopped it 3.5 years ago because of COVID. And since COVID, the kids have spread out. They're not in clumps like they were before. We used to have, 20, 30, 40 kids in a class. Now we're lucky if we go out in outreach and see one or two kids, because they're spread out now. They're afraid of being close to each other because they'll get COVID, and they could die because their immune system is shot.
Right.
They're not vaccinated, most of them. And so they really are, they really want to stay away from each other and stay away from the public. So these kids are spread out the last 3.5 years. So we are not having our program because there's not enough kids in any area in San Diego right now that has enough volume of kids to have a program at this point. Hopefully in the future we will, but right now we don't. So until that time, we don't need any of the equipment until we start the program up again.
Understood. Well, it's like I said, I got to hand it to you, man. This is quite a legacy you're building for yourself here, not to mention the fact that you've helped these kids begin their own. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing you're doing, Jeffrey, and all the folks that are working with you as well, because I know it's not just a one-man show. But
I'm the quarterback for an amazing team of people that are givers, that are doers, and that most importantly want to help youth that no one's helping.
Yeah.
And this transitional age youth, 17 to 25, they really are the forgotten kids. Because they are so-called adults, so they can make it on their own, but they've never been taught by their parents how to do things, and so they don't know how to do it. And so really, they can't help themselves at that point, and that's why we need to give them a hand up. And once we give them a hand up, after they start trusting us quickly, they will succeed in anything they try with hard work over a long period of time. They will definitely succeed, and we have many, many, many success stories as a result. And just thank you for allowing us to get the word out. doorsofchange.org, doors is plural. Give us a donation of any amount. It doesn't matter what you give. Give from your heart so we can get more kids off the streets this year. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure. It's my give back if I can, any way I can. And I will, of course, folks, you'll find that link in this description. Plus, when the concert is coming up, I will shout it out multiple times for you.
Thank you.
Maybe get two or three extra people there.
Listen, everybody is an angel that's there. Everybody. Anybody that comes to that concert is an angel for homeless youth. We really appreciate it. We truly appreciate it, especially with all the causes out there and all the organizations out there. Taking time out of your busy schedule to come and say this is not right. I'm going to have a great time listening to KC, but I'm also coming for the cause of getting these kids off the streets and a better life.
A win-win situation, as they call it.
Yes.
Well, this has been wonderful, Jeffrey, and thank you. Thank you for all you do. And yes, I'm going to shout it from the mountaintop, sir.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. And I know there's angels out there listening. We always find angels that hear these interviews and say, you know something? I never, didn't know who I was going to give to. Hopefully you're touched enough by these stories, these true life Rocky stories, like Justine, like Matthew, so many of them that really we can help more kids together have a life they can be proud of.
Wow. I couldn't say it better. I guess I would add, your angels out there. You know who you are. And you know what? You little devils that I know that are out there, too. You can help, too. Maybe pave a way to the to the afterlife. Fix some old transgressions. I don't know. Anyway, thank you again for joining me, sir. And good luck to all and everyone and all the things that you're doing. And keep it up.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks again, Jeffrey. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. Another Retro TV Radio podcast in the books. You'll find the link to doorsofchange.org in the description. And while you're there, please consider making a tax-deductible donation and become part of the Homeless Youth Angels team. And if you're in the San Diego area on July 27th, attend what sounds like a blast of a concert with Casey and the Sunshine Band, where 100% of the proceeds benefit this worthy cause. I know it will be deeply appreciated, and who knows, it may even save a life. You can follow me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Golden Rage of TV. And if you'd like to make a suggestion or a civilized critique, you can send an email to goldenrageoftv@gmail.com. This is your host, Pat McCormick, and thanks for listening to Retro TV Radio.